Well, already gang, welcome back to the Active Self-Protection Podcast. I am yet again your host, Mike Bulliver, and I remain your favorite former Fed. Say it with me. Favorite former Fed. With me today is a new friend of mine. His name is Dan. Dan is from Southern New Hampshire. I think we had a Mainer recently, so we're trying to get all 50 states. I need to put a map behind me and like put little pins. Where we've had guests from. I love that idea. He is a traveling mechanic. I'll let him explain that to you here in a moment. And he is in what he assures me is a solid relationship with his girlfriend. So ladies, back off. Dan has spoken for. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So fun fact, my oldest living brother, named after my dad, Edward Williver Jr., was a mechanic for years, an auto mechanic. So I know a little bit about what that life is like, maybe not a traveling one, but I know, for example, I see you're wearing a Mac Tools t-shirt. I understand the struggle of having to buy that one tool that you'll use one time on an 87 Volvo wagon and never be able to use it again because it's that specific. Is that the case? Are the tools still your arch enemy in this business?
Not so much. So I bounced around from shop to shop for a little bit, and then I finally landed at a place where I was doing like lifted trucks, muscle cars, a little bit of light general repair, stuff like that. And had a falling out there and decided that maybe something more, heavy duty related would be the best case. So I went and worked at a DPW barn. That didn't work out. Now for 2 years now, I'm working on golf cars, and that's actually been really fun.
So golf carts, like you would see on a golf course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you go from like place to place that has those and you square their carts away for them.
Not even, storm away. So I'll show up to a course that got 90 cars and they'll say, oh yeah, those six over there, they don't run, they got flat tires, fix them up, do that. And then, I get sent into, the city a lot. And so when I go there, it's a lot of like utility cars. We call them like carryalls cause work for club car, but, so those are, when we go there, it's a lot of like front end damage and kind of weird problems with that. But I do a lot of stuff in the city. We call it like commercial retail. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of like commercial retail stuff. But they got me doing a few stops that are golf courses.
Well, I like the traveling aspect of it because you're not always going to the same place every day, which for me was one of the reasons I got into law enforcement because I didn't want to be going to the same. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you like doing. But going to the same office every day, day in, day out, sitting in the same place, looking at the same people all the time didn't appeal to me. So I'd imagine that's a nice aspect of that is you're not always going to the same spot every day, right?
Yeah, no, not really. Sometimes we get a follow-up and we got to go back there the next day or the day after. But, on all of our contracted stops, it'll be like, I think the shortest amount of time we do is like a one-week interval. And so I could go up to, Newport Country Club 1 week, and then 2 weeks later, I'll do it again. And then again, and then if they had 10 cars down, I was only able to fix six. I go back, the next week after just to do those remaining four and then onward from there.
Very cool. All right. So talk to us about your personal history with sort of self-defense. Now, we talked a little bit before we started because you weren't, as so many people aren't, you weren't sure that your story was, worth an episode. I think that it will be. Well, people will know when they hear this coming out on the podcast one of these days. But you did mention that you were armed at the time that this thing happened. So have you been sort of interested in self-defense or self-defense minded for a while now?
Yeah. I grew up, hunting, doing all that. My grandfather took me out bird hunting. My father took me out deer hunting. So I'm no stranger to firearms. Shot a couple pistols here and there, a couple handguns, but I didn't really start to get into it until last year when I found your guys' YouTube channel and podcast. And then, it was the year before that. So 2 years ago, being a former Massachusetts resident, I had to go out and get the, LTC, do the police station interview, the test, do all that. So I got that a couple of years ago, found your guys' channel shortly after. And then, or 2 years ago, found your guys' channel last year and moved from Massachusetts to Southern New Hampshire, the end of last June, and just trying to equal out everything. I haven't really had the time to go out and get proper training. There's a few places around that do training courses, and I think there's a couple advanced courses that one place does, but I think for the most part, it's mainly just basic stuff. What that include, I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet, but yeah. Now, long story short, yeah, no stranger to firearms, but yeah, definitely interested more, getting more training.
So do you mind, I know people like to know when I think to ask, do you mind telling us what your everyday carry is, what your setup is?
Yeah, so it's actually, it's the only handgun that I've personally bought. It's a, it is a Shield, M&P Shield 9. I think it's like the 3.1 inch barrel, just the kind of smaller one.
Is it Shield Plus by any chance or no? You don't know?
No, it's not the Shield Plus. It's just a, it's just a single stack. It's the older.
Those are fine. Those are fine little guns. Like, you know, obviously we're a brand ambassador for HK. We love everyone to get HKs, but not everybody wants to or can't afford it or whatever. The Shield's a great little gun. I think I gave the one I got to my son, and he uses that for his, you know, sort of every day. He has an Enigma holster for it, and it fits in there nicely. So it's a good little setup. Do you run a dot by any chance or iron sights?
No, iron sights. I was able to pick up a set of True Glow, kind of the fluorescent lights, the iron sights for it. But being a studio apartment, I don't really have a vice out in the garage that I can go and swap those out with yet. So still waiting to find a suitable place to do that.
Very cool. All right, so let's talk about your incident. And again, Dan wasn't sure this would qualify. I think that it does for any number of reasons. But what it basically involves is being seated in a vehicle and something's going on in your periphery that you don't love. And what should you have thought? I'm not talking about Dan, you, the listener, you, the viewer, what should you think about in advance of that possibly being a thing? You're armed, you're sitting there and something's going on around you. What are some of the considerations in that situation? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about here. So just kind of walk us through, how long ago was it? Where were you? What were you doing and what happened?
Last fall, it was cold out. I'd probably say it was probably late October, I think. I was going down to visit friends and family down close to, you know, where I moved from. And, one of my buddies who I'd helped, build a truck, an old, square body Chevy for, he hit me up while I was down here and he was like, "Hey, like, can you come over in the morning and can you help me finish up a couple things?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, no problem. You know, I haven't seen you in a few months. You know, it'd be nice to catch up." Sure. So I headed over, I can't remember exactly what time I got there. If I were to guess, it was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning. The way that his property is kind of set up, there's a single car garage kind of on the side, and then there's a two car garage probably 10 or 15 yards behind it. And then the man door, the left side of the building, kind of jaunts behind that single car garage, and then there's the garden behind that. And between behind the single car garage and behind that garden and the garage, there's about a 10-foot gap between the end of the garden and that building. Okay. And there's an empty lot next door. So what I normally do all the time, I've been over there hundreds of times, is I pull in through the empty lot and I kind of park along the garden. And so I was sitting there. I was probably sitting there for 20 minutes. He was doing a side job. So he was like, "Oh, I'll be there soon." He's like, "Let yourself in." I couldn't remember his passcode. So I was like, "Oh, it's cold out. I'll just sit in the truck." So sitting there, you know, and it's like, looking back on it, it's like the forbidden, you know, like the ASP forbidden laws. But I was sitting in the truck, scrolling through Facebook Marketplace, listening to music. And I don't really know why something told me to look up, but I just looked up and to my right and walking, I see this guy walking in front of that two car garage, kind of heading right to left. Like he's going to cut in between the garden and the building and behind my truck. So I kind of looked up, saw him, and I looked back down and I did a double take because I realized like he was reaching into his coat. So he had like a big kind of puffy winter jacket on. I think it was like a Bruins jacket or something. And he's got his left hand over his heart, pulling the jacket out a little bit. He's got his right hand stuffed in where you would typically keep like a, you know, like an underarm holster or something like that.
So for those who are only listening, basically the motion he's making is like the stereotypical every movie you've ever seen where the hitman is moving in, you know, to kill somebody, getting his gun out.
Yeah.
Like lifting up the jacket and reaching in like Napoleon style. And that's is exactly what that looks like. Now, it could be something else, but you don't know what it is in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was. So, yeah, I did the double take. I saw that. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. So I put my. And so if I'm sitting in the truck, he's walking from my right to my left. And at this point, when I finally did the double take and see him, I have a little Nissan Frontier crew cab truck. And he was, from my vision, you know, kind of turning, looking over my shoulder, he's just in the middle of that rear passenger window, almost about to go out of sight behind the C-pillar. For the rear window, and I can see him kind of holding the jacket out and fussing around with something in there. And I'm like, this isn't happening right now. And so as he starts to kind of, and this whole time I'm looking at him, I dropped the phone. I had my hand on the steering wheel, and I had my arm kind of over kneeled against the headrest and the top of the seat, mm-hmm. trying to get a good look. And as he's coming into the rear window, I can see him kind of break away from the house a little bit, or the garage, the two-car garage, and start walking towards the garden like he was heading for the, you know, the passenger side of my truck. Mm-hmm. And he's not walking fast, just kind of nonchalantly, but the whole time that he's walking, and he starts to turn away from the house or the garage and starts walking towards my truck, he's still fumbling around and reaching in. And I'm like, oh, so at that point I reached down and I grabbed my gun and I kept it in the holster. I had to do, and this was another learning point, is I had to do some fussing around. I usually
tell the good folks at home where you carry and what kind of holster you have. Cause that's, it's important for them to understand.
Yeah. So, normally at that point in time, new to, self-defense and carrying and all that, I was carrying it like 4 o'clock, almost 5 o'clock, right behind. Yeah. Yeah. Right kind of by a belt loop. I now carry it at the 3 o'clock position, strong side. And, the holster I use is one of those things. Before I started listening to the podcast, I ordered one of those $20 Amazon, what do you call them? Johnny sock holsters.
Sausage sack. Yeah. There's a number of derogatory terms for those. Yeah. The Uncle Mike's or the Phobos. It's a little holster, but you know, as I said to my earlier guest I interviewed earlier today, or actually he said to me, you don't know what you don't know when you're starting out. And I think it's important that we meet people where they are. Like, so if you're the experienced guy now, you know, not talking to you, Dan, but just to the audience in general, if you're the experienced person and you see someone at a gun shop, you know, doesn't know what they're talking about, you know, calls a magazine a clip or calls a pistol a revolver or whatever. Hey, if you're going to do anything, don't point and laugh at them. Come alongside them and, you know, help them understand the terminology and stuff and give them some good advice. That's sorely lacking, unfortunately, in a lot of gun stores. But so you did the same thing the vast majority of people do when they first start carrying. You bought a gun and you put it in whatever holster. You're like, what difference does it make? It's on me. That's all that matters. But now you know better.
Yeah, no, now I do know better. Luckily for, I guess, this encounter, if that's what you want to call it, I had just recently picked up a Vetter Rapid Tuck holster. It's one of those hybrid ones, you know, leather backing against your skin and Kydex on the waistband. I really like that holster. I was a little disappointed with the retention of it.
Yeah.
It's not the best retention, but leather, I guess you're going to have it when it's on you and you got a belt around it and everything. The retention's actually pretty good, but, yeah, when it's off your body, if you just hold it up over your, you know, check clear and pull it up over your bed, it'll just fall right out. There's no retention to it. But yeah, so that's what I had at the time. Was I just gotten it like
10 days prior. My buddy actually has that break-in butter for the holsters. We were supposed to do that day. But yeah, so it was like 5 o'clock. So now at the point where I'm trying to get at it, now I'm pretty much sitting on it because it's at the 5 o'clock. And so I had to get my shirt up and over it. And then when I went to go grab it, I could only get my 3 fingers around. I couldn't get my thumb around it. And so I was trying to get it out. I couldn't really get it out. And, at this point, now the guy has pretty much reached the right rear tail light. And, but he's still like 3 or 4 feet away from the truck. And, as I kind of went back and just rested regular in my seat, I was able to get it out. I just kind of had it by my leg, and I watched him through the rear view mirror and then the driver mirror. And he eventually just walked off into this empty lot. And so then I kind of got it back in there, and it just like rattled me a little bit, because like you guys always say, it's, you know, you don't get to choose when it happens. It's going to happen when it's happened. And I did not expect it to be such a bad draw, such an awkward angle. Time didn't really slow down, but it seemed like it was happening faster than what it was.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. There wasn't really anything else after that.
And like I said, during our pre-interview, that's enough. That story is enough, because there's a ton of stuff to take out of it. First things first, if you ask John has very strong opinions on, I guess you call them hybrid holsters that have the kydex and the leather. My best advice for a holster for anyone is the most important thing for me, besides retention, is make sure you can get a full firing grip on the gun while it's still in the holster. So all 3 of your fingers on your dominant hand around the grip, your index finger high and index, and your the webbing of your hand and your thumb around the back strap fully before it comes out of the holster. That's thing number one. As far as retention goes, retention's important. Retention's great. But if you're concealed carrying it, as long as there's nothing about the design of the holster or the way you're carrying it that would cause it to just fall out, you know, if you're jogging or something, that's obviously a problem. But if it's not going anywhere, it's not going anywhere. The idea is, hopefully, no one knows you have it. So no one's going to try to take it away from you without you knowing, because they won't know what's there.
Otherwise,
not to open carry. And I think the most important lesson here almost certainly is, why does anyone, not just Dan, right? Why does anyone carry their gun where they carry it and how they carry it? Where you carry it is important. We don't like off body, like in a bag or whatever. I've been guilty of that in the past. I think this is one reason why appendix is so superior to everything else. Now, I personally literally cannot carry appendix. The way my body shape, the way my middle section is after 30 years of wearing a duty belt and being overweight and all the rest of it. I had a holster expert come and like literally put hands on me and be like, yeah, it's not, just not going to work for you. No matter what I do, it's going to poke out, protrude. But most people, even heavy set people, can successfully carry appendix. John has lost a ton of weight, but before he lost a ton of weight and he had a big belly hanging out, he could still get it concealed. That's one of the reasons the Enigma is so fantastic, is because it helps you carry in that position without a lot of additional issues. Why is that so important? Because just as Dan just explained, he hadn't thought that particular thing through, which is why this is going to make a great episode. Hey, what if I'm seated in my car and this thing kicks off unexpectedly? You're sitting there, it's 9 a.m. You're not in a terrible neighborhood. You know, you're not violating any of the rules of stupid. You were playing on your phone. Look, everyone is going to do that, at least from time to time. They're going to be on looking at a YouTube video, or preferably ASP, or they're going to be on X or whatever, on Instagram, passing the time. The key about that is don't have your head buried in it. You can be looking at your phone, and every 5 seconds, just pop your head up, look around real quick. Everything good? Okay. Back to it. That's real practical advice, because I don't know that there's a lot of people that are just going to eschew being on their phone all the time in public. That's not realistic, but you can have your head not so buried in it that it's okay. You can look around and see what's going on. But the most important thing is, this guy comes from a wonky angle And now without having thought this through, you're like, crap, I can't get my gun out. If I need it, this could be a problem. And again, that's why I think this is a valuable lesson for the listeners and for the viewers. So you moved it to 3 o'clock. You're right-handed, right?
Yeah, right hand down.
You moved to about 3 o'clock on the strong side. You ever thought about carrying appendix? Has that ever occurred to you?
So I tried. If you want, I can go and grab the holster and show you what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So for our audio listeners, Dan's going to go retrieve that holster right now. Oh, good. It's not far. It's in the same room.
Yep.
So you don't have to name the brand. Just kind of walk me through why that didn't work for you. Might be the same for me.
Yeah, this is it here. I've got it broken in pretty decent. Hybrid. I like this one. I saw a review on it on YouTube. It had the big kind of slide piece up here. So that way, because, you know, I like my beers. I got a little muffin top, but right, it wouldn't rub against that. Right. And that works great. The problem is when this person made this holster, they put a curve here, but they didn't put one here.
Oh,
I see. So now
the two bottom edges closest to the body are not, they're not symmetrical. One is
no. So if I were to kind of put it in there, this digs into my thigh worse. Oh, it's terrible.
Right.
I can't, I've tried it. And you know, I said, cause we live not too far from like a, kind of like an outlet kind of strip, you know, little stores and stuff. And, I've tried walking around with it like that. I end up with a big bruise or a welt on my leg right there, right from where that corner is, digging in. And so I said, well, I said, if I can't do it like that, I said, I feel comfortable standing and walking around, you know, maybe 3 o'clock is better because, you know, it's still strong side, you know, it's just shirt, can get to work. I said, maybe in the truck, you know, maybe because I do a lot of driving around. My company doesn't allow me to carry, but drive my personal truck around. You know, me and my girlfriend, we take my truck everywhere. So I said, you know, maybe if I'm in my truck, you know, before I get in and then when I get out, I can just loosen my belt a little bit, slide it around to the front. And I think I made it about a half hour until my leg was just almost numb. I could barely even feel the gas pedal. So yeah, at least with this holster, it's not very practical or comfortable for me to carry appendix, but like you said, maybe the Enigma would work better.
I was just going to say that I would really recommend, I think we probably have a promo code or something over on our website, but yeah, the Enigma is fantastic. Really, it answers a lot of questions and it solves a lot of problems. And when I started the podcast, a good friend of mine, Mike, he has a podcast called Tactical Tangents, which if you're in law enforcement or the military, I highly recommend. And I'm like, hey, I don't know anything about podcasting. I just told John I wanted to do a podcast and he said, okay. And I'm like, oh crap, man, what do I do? He recommended for me in the early days a recorder. It's by a company called MixPre. It's a MixPre 6.2, I think is what it's called. And it reminds me of like the Enigma reminds me of that. It solves problems you didn't know you had before you ever had them. So you never even realized there was a problem. So this recorder does all sorts of crazy stuff and lets you set it up so that the, you know, the levels are just right for Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that kind of thing. And now I use it for an interface with the video. And it was expensive. It was $1,100 recorder. I couldn't have probably afforded it myself. Fortunately, ASP has a couple of dollars laying around. So they picked it up for me. And that got me started on the right foot. So this is one of those things. If you're in the gun store, if you're around, if you're with a friend or a relative who's thinking about concealed carry, you know, you can point them in the right direction. I think the Enigma is fantastic. It, for those who don't know, it's essentially a really high quality Kydex holster and it has its own belt, right? Doesn't rely on your clothing at all. You could wear, and my son regularly wears gym shorts, sweatpants. You wear a bathing suit if you wanted to. I don't recommend swimming with your gun, obviously, but you can wear pretty much anything. And it sits on your waist, just behind your pants, not connected to your pants at all, not connected to your belt at all. And you get it to your comfort level. Then there's a leg strap that goes around your dominant side leg. So it sits in appendix position. But it's the only way I could carry a gun like that. I couldn't do it with a traditional appendix holster. So I recommend the Enigma highly. When we're done with the call, stay on the line. We'll talk more about that. I might be able to find that promo code for you. But anyway, So what can someone do who's listening to this, who's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea. That's a great lesson to learn. Now, what do I do? And most importantly, how do I practice this skill safely And the answer is, I can't talk to your specific situation. Again, generally the listeners, not Dan. What you don't want to do is sit in your car in a public place and draw your gun repeatedly to practice it. That's not a good idea. Don't do that. But you know, I remember as an agent, we would be at the range and we would bring a car into the range and do all sorts of car stuff. Right. And one of the things was drawing a live loaded gun from a seated position and engaging somebody next to the car. Neil and John did a video on the Extra Channel about that, where they're in the dual ASP F-150s and they practice shooting from a seated position in a car. I would recommend if you can get a blue gun or a dummy gun to practice it, that would be really way better. But look for a training program somewhere near you that might be able to let you do this on a live fire range and actually work through the motions. Because as Dan now knows, it's not a natural thing. You have to think about it. And I would venture to say you didn't have time to think about it in that moment, right?
No, not really. Like I said, by the time that he came around that, you know, C-pillar, that piece of metal by the rear window, he was already walking towards the truck. And it's not that far. It's 6 or 7 feet, you know, 2 or 3 steps. And so in between those 2 or 3 steps, I wasn't trying to flail around and make it obvious that I was trying to do something. But, you know, it was just in those 2 or 3 steps, I was only able to get my hand on the gun and just kind of give it a tug and realize that it wasn't going to come out because it was being pinched that hard. Mm-hmm. If he had pulled something or if something had gone wrong, if he'd kept walking up the passenger side, I guess I could have tried to pull harder on it, but I mean,
right.
You know, it's just one of those things, you know, I didn't think about that angle. You know, everybody, well, I don't know about everybody, but me myself, it's like, oh yeah, you know, strong hand, you know, I can tuck it in a little bit more and turn this way. You know, if you're in an open space on a range, right, doing training, when it gets in the kind of tight knit areas like that, and you can't turn your, you know, even your chest all the way, it really limits how far you can bring that arm back.
Yeah. Some other considerations are, you know, it's at some point, if you're concerned enough with what you're seeing, if you're concerned enough with the stimulus you're getting, which is a guy who, whether or not we're in a movie, looks like he might be pulling a gun out of his coat or out of a shoulder holster. How long does it take for you to stop caring about how you look or whether or not you're drawing attention? You know, at what point are you like, well, screw it, I'm going to arch my back and make myself, you know, look a little foolish, but I'm going to get this gun out. That's something you got to think about ahead of time. And if you're carrying appendix, the beauty of that is it's right in front of you. There's nothing between you and the gun except your shirt. There's nothing pinching it. The seatbelt is going across it, but it's not impeding your ability to draw the gun. That's why I think it's a superior position to carry the gun in. I started to say something earlier. I'm not sure if I finished, but so Dan was not in a stupid place. He was not doing a stupid thing. He was not around stupid people. He didn't violate any of the rules of stupid. He was just minding his own business, and this happened. This is why I think mental reps are so important. This is why I think the show is so important, because people who've never thought about this eventuality are now thinking about it and could at least, even if they can't change anything about their setup or about their car or about, you know, how they're carrying their gun, they can at least have thought of it. So in that moment where Dan hadn't thought about it, because why would he, right? He hadn't thought about it. He had to improvise really quick and decide what to do. Fortunately, the guy walked away and nothing happened. So it was a complete and utter nothing burger. Or maybe, it's a possibility, the guy was about to do something and realized that Dan was aware of his surroundings and saw him. And it's like, well, I've lost the element of surprise. I'm going to go down the street and rob the next person or carjack the next person or whatever. Because the number one rule is that situational awareness. So don't have your head buried in your phone. Look up every so often. If I had to guess, I would say you probably saw something in your side view mirror out of your peripheral vision that cued you in that something was going on. Is that a possibility?
It's possible, but where I kind of was fated, because I was just sitting in the seat, like you said, head buried in the phone, and I don't recall seeing any mirrors. I don't recall like seeing a flash of light from a passing car. It was a cloudy day. Like I said, it was chilly. So I don't recall seeing anything like that. It was just something told me to, hey, you should go look out, you know, pick your head up, look real quick. And sure. I didn't. You know, I think I left out too, on the other side of that lot, there's a, I don't know what they call them in other parts of this country, but it's like a halfway house. So it's somewhere for like recoveries can go, and it's like a homeless thing. But you know, before I did the double take, you know, when I looked and saw it, it was just instantly like, oh, that's one of the homeless guys, like whatever. And then like, as I was bringing my head back down, I just caught that quick glimpse of him going in his pocket. And I'm like, no, that wasn't normal. And I looked back up and sure enough, there he was doing it. So, you know, I can't say that if it was somebody in a suit walking around through my buddy's backyard, I wouldn't have thought the same thing. I might've, but it was just that circumstance. And it's not like he lives in a bad part of town. It just happens that house is right next door. But yeah, it just kind of added to it because, you know, they're dirty, the jacket's all torn up, and, you know, they're looking pretty rough. And it's like, okay, like,
right,
like, don't come any closer, please. You know, but you can't, you know, it's like you guys always say, you know, you don't get to choose when.
Right. Yeah. And that's, again, we, as we record this today, the video on the main channel was a badge cam about the shooting at the Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen's church down in Houston. And we, you know, one of the things I pointed out is you're not frequently, if you're a security guard or you're a police officer and you're working a detail, like at a church, for example, you know, you kind of have an idea in your head of what you think it's going to look like if something goes wrong, what you think your bad guy is going to look like, or whatever. And in this case, it was a very normal looking woman holding a child, you know, that came in there and started shooting and claimed to have a bomb. And I think target selection and the person doing the selecting can look like almost anything. And it's probably not going to look like the imaginary scenario you have in your head. It's not going to go exactly as Dan can tell you. So Dan, before we part ways, I want to make sure we didn't leave anything out. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about that I might've forgotten to ask?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe just, and I guess you could cut this out if you don't, but, okay. You know, my buddy who I was going to see, growing up, he did a lot of sports shooting, you know, 3-gun competition, stuff like that. He got out of it, you know, when he was getting into high school and more into trucks and stuff, but that's, I bought my shield off of him. He has security cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, 3 on the 1-car garage. He's got 6 on the 2-car garage. And so when he finally showed up about 15 minutes later, I told him what had happened, and he pulled up the security camera and he was like, yeah, dude, he's like, that didn't happen. I'm like, no, I'm like, look, I want you to pull it up. And he was like, holy crap. He's like, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. He's like, I don't think I could even tell you right now. He's like, that's a weird angle. That's a weird everything. I'm like, well, it's good to know I'm not alone. Like, thinking I was just completely useless. Like, you know, at least, you know, somebody who's done a lot more shooting than I have personally, at least in that kind of setting or whatever.
No, that's a cherry. That's fantastic. Cause you do want someone else to be like, am I nuts or is this happening? And to hear that confirmation from someone else is great. You usually don't get that, but that's great. You've heard from your friend, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want, I can try to text him and see if he wants to give up the video, but he's kind of like, yeah, my stuff, you know,
I know that guy too. I know exactly the guy you're talking about, so no worries.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dan, don't hang up because I got to talk to you a little bit after here, but thank you so much
Absolutely. For
writing in and being on. I think it's going to be a great episode. So if you're listening to this, do me a favor, go to whatever podcast service you're listening to this on and leave us a review. Tell us how much you love Dan's story and how impactful it is on your life. If you're watching on the app, thank you very much for doing that. Thank you for subscribing. We really appreciate it. Dan, thanks again. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you. You too.